Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
And hello, Chris.
All right.
Lovely to see you both. Now, remakes of TV shows and films are nothing new. However, in the 21st century, there seems to be fewer original ideas knocking about, and also a lot of reboots, sequels, spin-offs, and adaptations. Today, we're asking, are films and TV too obsessed with remakes?
I've got to be honest, I feel like we're in such a time of remakes. And I feel like the time between versions of things is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
Like, one of the ones that really threw me was, I can't imagine you guys watched it, correct me if I'm wrong, but Gossip Girl?
Nope.
Fair enough. That was really big, maybe about 10 years ago.
Yeah. I remember it being around, but because I'm a bloody bloke, I didn't watch it.
It was my house used to love watching it when we were hungover at university.
Oh.
So that sort of, those sort of vibes.
Imagine the scene, eh?
So it's not old at all, but they've already remade it.
Give it a bit of breathing room. I agree
with you. Yeah. I get it. I get, 30 years has passed. Okay, yeah. We can maybe think about it. But some things don't need to be remade. Like, you're not bringing anything new to the party.
Have you watched the new one?
No, I've seen the trailer for it, and it just looks crap.
And that's the problem as well.
Reviews have been terrible.
If the original one was brilliant,
you
can't just make another one for the sake of it and it'd be rubbish. Yeah. It has to exceed before. And as you said, leave a gap where society, culture shifted on, technology's shifted on. But if it's the same thing, just worse.
Yeah.
You've wasted all your money.
I think that was it. And also I know things like technology has changed a lot, but also 10 years. So it's in the original one, they were still texting each other and using social media.
Yeah.
So it's not it's brought this whole new dimension. It's just now, I think maybe one of the characters is gay now, and I imagine they're using different social media and things like that. And I just felt this is not, you're not bringing enough newness to this.
Well, I think that's something, isn't it? When they think, right, we'll go for, and it is nostalgia really, and familiarity.
Mm.
We'll go for that. But as you say, if you adapt it so they're going on about social media, or they're going about this, that, and the other, you kind of think that jars a bit. But also, will a younger audience be that bothered if this is kind of aimed at an older audience? It's interesting because some things do have success there, whereas others, I would say, very much don't. I mean, take a film, you've got Ghostbusters. Yeah, Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 in the 80s, maybe Ghostbusters 2 was just in the 90s. It certainly was a while ago anyway. I think they were both in the 80s. The first one definitely was. Very successful films, cult following, all that. Then they have a sort of a remake, if you will, with very different characters, which I actually thought was okay. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
A lot of people didn't like it. Some people, because they're silly sausages and don't like having four women as the main role, or whatever their silly reasons are. But I like to...
Silly sausages is certainly a way of putting it, Marcus.
Indeed, yeah. They certainly have silly sausages, those people. But and then you have and then you have Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was
that the one that was really bad.
That one I think was out. That was out quite recently.
Yeah.
And that mixed reviews, shall we say.
Mm.
And you kind of think to yourself, again, who are you kind of going for with that? Because it's a while ago. Yeah, they've given the breathing space, as you say, but it's not like Blade Runner, which is a sequel.
Mm.
And I think Blade Runner, I thought the first film was terribly boring, I'll be perfectly honest with you. The second one wasn't bad. It was definitely better, I thought. But there's a lot of time has passed there. And I think that's one of those ones where I think a newer audience would go, hang on a minute, you've got Ryan Gosling as the main role. Okay, you've got our attention. And then you've
I'm listening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you've got enough going on that it's sort of more modernized. So it's not as boring, but it's got all the paraphernalia and all the trimmings of the original.
Mm.
And I think they probably did that a little bit better, even though I'm not a huge fan of those films. But a big time has passed, so fans of the originals will be very excited. And then a newer audience might go, oh, hang on, well, maybe we'll check out what yeah. this original was, and then we'll kind of get involved. So I thought that was, you know, so there's two examples, Chris, of where people have had a go at this sort of stuff.
Well, I think what's interesting about the Blade Runner thing, I think probably for its time, it was quite pioneering, right? Like it was, you know, and as you said, it was a bit boring, but again, it was like, it was a product of its time. I think back then, if you watch Jaws again, the first Jaws, it's all quite slow. It's a bit like ploddy, and it's character building, and they spend a lot of time doing these modern movies don't really do.
No.
So it's interesting that they took risks back then, but actually making a remake of it is like the opposite of taking a risk. It's like risk management. This is an industry run by accountants. How do we not waste money? And how do we just maximize profits? No, love you all. But like, you know, you're running the movie industry now.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely something to be said for that, that if a film has done well, then it's a safe bet.
Yeah.
And you can't blame film companies and production companies or whatever for that necessarily, because if you'll make money, then you know, in this day and age, post, you know, what was it, 2008 crash, people maybe not going back to watching. I mean, I've not checked the stats, to be perfectly honest with you, but with a lot more films on TV, Netflix and Amazon, and they go back to cinema as much, da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's a sob story at the moment for Hollywood. We should feel very sorry for them. Let's be honest. So I do get that, the sort of financial thinking behind it.
I read an article saying that the third remake of Spider-Man is worth all the others. Like, they just take in so much money when they can get it right.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it's such a massive win for the, I guess, who owns it? Disney now, and Marvel and stuff.
Almost certainly.
Disney and Marvel. And so they would, like, I get that. And I actually really like the new Spider-Mans. Like, they are really good. So it's not like I'm against them. I just think it goes back to your previous point about Gossip Girl, Sarah. Like, if you're going to do it, you've got to kind of know it's going to be a hit and a win.
Yeah. Rather than sort of doing this slightly lukewarm kind of, let's just try it.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, yeah, I'm going to bring something new. Yeah. Like, it just feels... I tell you one that did occur to me, literally just as you were talking there, which was a remake and a very, very successful remake, was House of Cards.
Okay, yeah.
So that was originally... I think that was originally about British politics, wasn't it? I believe so. Like, it was quite a long time ago, like maybe in the 70s, 80s, I think. And obviously they remade it, and they still use the same sort of, some of the same ideas, but they didn't try to just be like, it's the same story 30 years later. They moved it to America. They completely changed the cast of characters, and it was original while still being a remake.
Well, I think there's something to be said for that. If you're unaware of a film or a story from the past, then does it matter? I mean, look at the film Dune, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that film. I thought it was great. I mean, I did feel it's odd because it was part one, and at the end of the film, you're kind of like, well, hang on.
Did they set it up for a part two?
Massively. Like, you're a bit like, oh, well, when's the... I've got to wait 2 years now. So it's not like a trilogy.
It's quite a long film.
It is true. But with a trilogy... The beautiful thing about a trilogy, if done well, is the first film, it's a standalone film, almost.
Lord of the Rings, I'm thinking of here.
Matrix.
I was thinking more sort of Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones. Oh, right. I'll come to that in a minute. Back to the Future.
Don't get me started. That's on my notepad.
But Back to the Future, though, is a sort of, it's a complete film. But then at the end, it's kind of like, all right, we'll just give you that. We could give you a little bit more. Yeah, exactly. Then the second film comes along. And the second film, you could maybe be more creative because you don't have to tie up any loose ends or anything like that. You can just go, "Wait, here's the problem that needs to be solved in the third film."
Yeah.
So the second film is often the best film of a trilogy, one could argue. And then the third film is often, there's a lot of admin to be done, tying up those loose ends and so on. So the third film sometimes can be a little bit disappointing or whatever. But a trilogy, I think, kind of works well. But then a remake or a sequel or a prolonging of these films, it's not just remakes, it's a prolonging as well, is that can ruin a film or films legacy. I mean, I think we spoke about films we were disappointed in, and I battered the Kingdom of Skulls.
Yes, Indiana Jones one.
Indiana Jones.
Crystal Skull.
And the Crystal Skull, sorry, yeah. I mean, ghastly film, absolutely awful. Like, they should be ashamed of themselves, and it's a great shame that they did that. And often if there is a sequel that comes along, you think, oh, careful. Trainspotting 2 was an example of this. Mm. Trainspotting is a phenomenal standalone film, and they said they were going to do the second one. It's like,
it wasn't bad. Yeah,
it was the best you could have hoped for, really. Mm. Because the thing is, when you watch Trainspotting, it was very mid-90s.
Mm. Yeah.
And British cinema was kind of had a little moment, a rare moment in the history of British cinema. And you had a lot going on, Britpop and all that kind of stuff. And it really kind of got a bit of the zeitgeist. You can't recreate that 20 or 30 years later. It's very, very difficult. Yeah. In fact, it's not difficult. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And it's foolish to do so. But why are you making that film? Because people who enjoyed the first film and remember it are going to go and watch it again.
Mm. But they're going to be disappointed because you said it's not going to be the same as it was. And I think that's maybe you just summed up what I was, I guess, trying to say earlier with Blade Runner and Jaws. Like, there's something in the moment in that film. And then when you try and replicate it, you lose that essence or that magic or what kind of made it good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, and you mentioned Back to the Future, and I think about that film. It's actually quite a weird film if you think about it, especially the fact his mum's trying to cop off with him.
Oh, yeah, and I know. If you think about that too much, it really.
And also, like, it's a PG, but there's he's
the son.
But Biff's, like, still, you know, essentially a sexual assault with his mum in a car.
You could joke about incest back in those days, Chris. It was a pure and more innocent time.
I don't know if they'd make a family film like that anymore. Like, well, it's quite risky.
It wouldn't be a PG now. No, yeah.
It's political correctness gone mad.
It's almost like, as I said, risk management. It would strangle creativity of, you know, family incest. But I think it's just that.
Oh, my goodness.
And no one wants that. No. But I think that's my lament is, you know, is that actually, you know, I'm a product of the 80s. I'm going to favour the 80s and 90s films. But it feels sad that there's not this new creativity around nowadays. Like, it just, yeah. It's, when you go on.
No. Sarah, you were going to say.
Oh, well, I was. No, sorry. I was going to come at a totally new point. Is that allowed?
Okay. Well, I was just. Let me nip in there quickly. Because,
go on.
Because you said that you were always favour kind of 80s and 90s films and all that kind of stuff. Did you watch Stranger Things on TV?
Yes.
You see, lots of people recommended it to me and said, oh, you should watch it. It's like rooted in the 80s and all. And actually, that really put me off. I don't really connect that much with the 80s. I feel very much more in the 90s.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you. So I never watched it, but I know a lot of the appeal around Stranger Things was because of that setting, even though, I, unless I'm wrong, I think that was an original thing. I don't think that's a remake. Is it?
Yeah, Stranger it was original.
Things? If it is a remake, then I'm none the wiser. But that's slightly different, I suppose. But Sarah, you were going to take us in a different direction.
So kind of something you said earlier made me think of this, that I feel like sometimes we don't know when to quit. We don't know when to just there's too much, you can have too much of a good thing and then it starts to go sour. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to someone about this the other day about, have either of you watched Peaky Blinders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one where it's still good, but I feel like it's, I believe this last series it is going to be the last one that they're doing.
Yes.
Because it just started to feel like it was so good at the beginning, like absolutely perfect. And I just think there comes a time when you quit while you're ahead. And for me,
I know what you mean.
Fleabag was the perfect example of that. Two series and everyone was going, what do you mean there's not going to be any more? And it was like, no, that was enough. It was perfect and it ended. And that way it can't be ruined.
Yeah, they stretch it out too long, don't they? And,
yeah.
For me, I used to love Walking Dead. And it was like the first six seasons of that, I was like, this is incredible. And then it just went off a cliff edge, terrible, because it just got stretched too much. It lost its way. Mm. And a lot of these shows, and that's where, again, love it or loathe it, you know, I know people, it's like Breaking Bad was brilliant because it was five seasons. They just went, this is what we've done. We're not going to stretch it. We're not, just because it's popular doesn't mean we need to make more of it. And that's why I have a lot of friends for the guys behind the whole behind Friends, is that they refuse to reboot, to remake, to do any new episodes. They're just like, no.
They wanted the reunion and set, because it was with Love Actually. People were like, please, we want a Love Actually too. And it was like, guys, like, it's not ever going to live up to what you want it to be.
No, but I understand the temptation of, but that's a cash cow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And people, they get wrapped up in it, don't they? I mean, I What was the one you spoke about? Friends. What was the other show you spoke about there? Not Peaky Blinders.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Yeah. So you had Better Call Saul was a spin-off.
Yeah, that went down really well, didn't it?
Apparently it did. I mean, I thought Breaking Bad was a touch overrated, if I'm honest. Mm. But it was still good though. There's no doubt about that. But the classic, when you mentioned Fleabag, two seasons or series, that is the classic English way of doing things. Is that you tend to have one or two writers on it. Generally speaking, so you think of The Office and you think of Fawlty Towers, everyone all the way back. often short, not many. Whereas in America, you have teams of writers, so they can churn them out.
The writer's room.
The writer's room, exactly. That's where they tend to be. And and I think that you're right. Quitting while you're ahead is interesting. And sometimes you get with TV series and film, whether it be a trilogy or a series within itself, it starts off really well and then they kind of go off a bit and then it gets a little bit too indulgent. And then you're hoping that at the end they manage to bring it back and capture it, which we hope for Peaky Blinders in this last series, which is coming up. Whereas to take the Star Wars films, you know, we spoke about them on a previous podcast, you know, the original three I loved. I was a child basically and watched them. Then you had 1, 2, and 3, which went down like a lead balloon because he misjudged the room there. Yeah. And then the more recent ones, 7, 8, 9. 7 was kind of, you've recaptured the old magic. It feels like it tastes like Star Wars. Well done. Bit self-indulgent. By the 9th one, I was just thinking, please, just can we end this?
Yeah.
I'll watch it because I have to just, but I please enough. But what I think is reasonably clever, what they've done, is with shows like The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett and a couple of the spin-off ones, is actually because you're creating a universe then, which is at the other end of the sort of thing, you know, with Marvel universes and all this kind of stuff. But with the Star Wars thing, I like the feel of Star Wars films. I like the look of them. I like the characters. I like some of the storylines. But actually, with the spin-offs and all that, I actually have really quite enjoyed them. A little bit of nostalgia, I suppose, but actually newer stories and kind of more original ideas, rather than the you know, stringing out, like you say, all the other ones. So sometimes that can be quite a good thing.
I feel like that is a bit more original, like it, because it, you're still, as you say, trying to capture some of the magic, and the feel, and pulling out the bits that made it brilliant, but whilst writing something new, creating something new, and not just rehashing it.
Well, I mean, there's only so much creativity. It's a bit like with music, you know, there's only so many chords you can play on a guitar. There's only so many kind of, you know, storylines and how things look, you know, so you're always going to borrow and you're always going to sort of look back and so on. Whereas if you create this kind of universe or whatever, if there can be creativity within that. Although I do stop short at the new Bill and Ted film, I have to say.
Is that your line?
Well, I just thought to myself, what are you doing? That was one of those...
You didn't watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. Because
I did.
And?
It was rubbish.
Of course it was.
I was so disappointed. I was just like, oh, great. As you said, nostalgia. But also, it's not a remake. They've got the original. And there's something about... I feel they're doing this a lot more now, where they get the original cast back into stuff. So I'm really enjoying Cobra Kai, which is
obviously a spin-off of the
Karate Kid. No. So like the Karate Kid, the first film is iconic. And then I went back, 2 and 3 are awful films. Absolutely awful. But Cobra Kai is like, it knows what it is. But I think the reason it's so successful is it knows what it is, but it has modernized well.
Again,
they brought all the original cast back, but as parents now and stuff like that. So I feel like it's been done very well. And you're watching, you're like, oh my gosh, there's Daniel's girlfriend from the first one, or there's his rival from the third one or whatever. But it's a new storyline. And I think that's the thing. I don't mind them basing it in the past. Like there's this new Lord of the Rings coming out on Amazon, right? And again, it's not Lord of the Rings as such. Isn't it like the gap between the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I believe.
Which would be great.
Yeah.
So which would be great. Like, you know, if you like that universe, as you say, all that well, then you're like, cool, something new and fun. And, you know, it's a new telling.
Yeah.
Well, if you, it's a bit like with Fantastic Beasts and Harry Potter. I've never seen any of the Harry Potters, but I have seen actually both of the Fantastic Beasts films. And that is all that kind of stuff. You know, different characters, different thing, but it's got the look, it's got the feel.
It's in the same world.
Yeah. But with decent actors.
Yeah. What about that? Did you see Home Sweet Home Alone?
No.
I did actually.
Oh, no, don't.
I did. No, because
don't mess with my childhood.
Some places did give it a kind of like a 3-4 out of 5 stars. And so I was like, you know, at Christmas, I was like, I just wanted something easy to watch. Yeah. And it isn't like the premise is the same. Kid accidentally gets left home alone, people trying to break into the house, he defends the house. But it felt different enough to me, and it felt like it was kind of a bit like self-referential, tongue in cheek, a bit like, yeah, we know, don't worry, we know that you don't want it remade. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it wasn't as good, but it still did capture some of the kind of a bit of the magic there. And also that was the same thing where there's a cop in it who is one of the children from the original one.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, he says, oh yeah, that happened to my house or something.
Yeah. So you thought it was all right. Well, 3.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 15% on Rotten Tomatoes, 35% on Metacritic. I just know it was heavily criticized.
Marcus is back.
Well, I mean, it was heavily criticized because it was trying to play on the nostalgia. And a lot of people said, no, that wasn't quite there. And then it didn't engage with a new audience. So it's like, who was this for?
Yeah, I think it was for people our age.
Yeah,
but but a lot of people would have been like, I don't really want it.
I just don't want this.
So that I don't sound solely negative, I also want to say the best remakes ever for me was The Departed, is an absolutely brilliant remake. And then the other one I quite enjoyed is Jumanji, which is like the newer ones.
Okay.
The original one was a classic, obviously, with Robin Williams.
Of course.
But the newer classic ones.
A strong word, yeah.
Wow.
It was.
Quite iconic. Most people of that era would have watched it.
I watched it, yeah. Fair enough.
But the new one, I thought they've taken the original idea, they've kind of doffed the cap to it, but they've totally redone it, like as a computer game and stuff as well. So I thought that was actually been done quite well. Like, it's very watchable and it's a family film and enjoyable, which is what you'd want from that film.
Yeah, so that's quite clever, because anyone who watched the original would think, all right, I'll have a piece of this, see what it's about. But as you say, Chris, new audience, they're none the wiser, jobs are good, and no doubt you just put a little sprinkling or a little nod here and there maybe to the original one, but it's enough of a clean slate. But you've got the story, you've got the idea,
and that's
pretty clever, I would say.
I think what I've found quite annoying is Disney at the moment seem obsessed with live action remakes of animated films. Like, they did Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and those all annoy me. But I was thinking back, and when I was a child was when they did the live action remake of 101 Dalmatians.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great film. That was a great remake.
Is that because it just came along at the time when they're... Yeah, you see, this is it. Are you the right age of what they're doing and so on? That does often dictate with these things. But I mean, Disney, yes, Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast, as you say. But again, with the financial side of things, they don't need to buy intellectual property rights from elsewhere if they can simply go back to the well.
And just get Beyonce to sing a song for it instead.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, but again, though, I suppose some people... You see, what will you know, history is cyclical, and at the moment we do seem to be in a phase of remakes. In 20 years' time, if you have more original ideas or stories or whatever, having a go, people will go, you will have people go, this is a load of rubbish. You've got a load of good ideas. Why don't you just redo them? You know, people will complain no matter what kind of goes on. I mean, we've got another Batman film out at the moment. You know, that is a character and a story which will just be constantly remade, because you'll have directors go, oh yeah, I like that one, but actually I think he should be a bit of a more humorous character, a more darker character,
character. Where some of them have been such trash and some have been so good.
Yeah, I agree.
And you go, but it's the same thing. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not the same.
Nolan's Batman remake was brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it was brilliant. Yeah, the first two. So that's a trilogy. And that goes into the whole kind of the first one, very good. Oh, here we go. Second one, magnificent. And then the third one, okay, you've got to tie up some loose ends and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But very good. What was the other remake? I can't think now. But then, did we need another Matrix film? I haven't watched it.
I'm interested because it's, again, I'll watch it because they brought back the original actors and I want to see what they do with the story. But I feel like I'm going to have to go back and watch all the old ones. Because when it's been such a gap, they'll probably do all these references, which are just not in my head anymore.
The Matrix, the third one in particular.
The CGI was excellent.
What are you going on about? Like the most confusing dialogue in a film. Like trying to be so kind of profound and deep and all the rest of it. At the same time, just talking utter bollocks.
Yeah.
Like it with the first one again, it was like, oh, okay, you got something there. Second one, a bit self-indulgent. That it was a bit confused, but okay, fine. Third one, it was just like, oh, piss.
Yeah,
you know, don't need it. Do you know, according to the BBC in 2019, all of the top ten highest grossing films at the US box office were based on existing intellectual properties, whereas 20 years prior to that, it was just five. So it's doubled in that time.
That is interesting.
Yes, absolutely. But some say, though, that these remakes and sequels and so on get in the way of creativity, of original content, potentially. Yeah. And also they get in the way of funding for that new and creative content. However, others argue that with production companies and the film industry, with the guaranteed income that the studios get from those films that are bankers, if you see what I mean, then they can fund more interesting and original films. So you get the argument either way, which I never really thought about, to be perfectly honest with you.
You know? Also, do they? That'd be my question. I haven't seen
the accounts. But I think some people think that the film industry is being a bit lazy when it just brings out
remakes. That's what I have always thought, to be honest.
Mm.
I think that's a fair point. Also, something I've been thinking about is, I know at the moment they're doing an adaptation of Oliver Twist.
Right.
And you know how have been so many of those. And I heard someone saying, oh God, do we really need another one? Like there are so, and Great Expectations is another. There are so many of them.
Yeah.
And I did find myself thinking, like, firstly, I do agree because I don't, you know, as I said, I get a bit tired of all the remakes. However, nobody says, oh God, are you doing Macbeth again? Oh, not Richard III again. Like, what? Is there a bit maybe of snobbishness? I mean, obviously, like, you know, the ones I was referencing now, Dickens, but like, is there maybe a bit of snobbishness of, I guess with Shakespeare, you could be like, well, it is 400 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a gap.
Yeah. So. But there hasn't, though. That's the thing. It's been performed so much. But yeah, like, what's a good idea to redo and what's a not?
Well, I think that with popular culture, really kind of what we sort of in terms of films and music and fashion and so on, we a lot of it I don't know that, like, sort of late 60s and 70s, a lot of it came along then, or it certainly went to the masses and was, well, popularized, hence pop culture, I suppose. You could argue that it came along in the sort of the 60s maybe. I know Elvis was in the 50s, so without getting bogged down in this, so the way we kind of think of influences for films and so on, you can't go back so far, but also cinema has changed a lot. And will it change? Will it have the profound change this century that it did in the last century? Where you think of black and white, you think of silent films, you think of short films. And then by the end, then you think of, say, Star Wars coming along and taking the idea of the blockbuster and effects to another level. Unbelievable changes. Will you see those kind of those seismic changes? Possibly not, but who knows? You don't want to restrict people and so on. But I'd be surprised if we did. So I think when we think about the classics and this, that, and the other, we think, oh, this particular period of time and films from that era or that decade, that's a classic because we've kind of decided it because we think it was the original idea or we hadn't seen anything like that. But 20, 30, 40 years later, people will not consider that because maybe they don't know or they just don't connect with it in any kind of way. And so stuff maybe being made now, they'll think of it or this idea of the classic. Maybe people won't have that because things change and move around so quickly.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult one to kind of pin down, I suppose. But in an article in Cosmopolitan last year, film studies lecturer and a specialist in 20th century British cinema, Dr. Matthew Jones, said he believes that remakes and reboots, it's not a new culture. And he said, it's often framed as something novel and unique to our postmodern times. But there is actually a rich tradition of remakes in Western film culture that runs back to the earliest days of cinema, arguably as far back even as 1896. Oh. The interesting thing about remakes isn't really that they exist or are significant in number, but rather that there are more of them at certain moments in history, and we're certainly in one of those moments now.
Interesting.
That is so interesting.
Yes.
I don't mind them doing loads of remakes when we're all doing VR. I think that would be quite fun. Jurassic Park when you're in VR. Like, they'll have to do a bit of a remake with Orbit. Like, I think you were saying about technology moving on. Like, I think that would be the next, obviously, the next sort of obvious phase. Mm-hmm. And that could be fun. But I guess but, it's I mean, not
VR,
like...
VR's not that far. I mean, 3D, I suppose, is a step in that direction, maybe.
Yeah, 3D. But also, I mean, a lot of people...
But 3D's been around for years. 3D's been around for absolute donkey's years.
But the technology with it now is much better, right? Like, that's the thing. Is it's at a point now where you watch in 3D and you're like, that is brilliant. Mm. Or like with the VR stuff, a lot of people... It's annoying. I was meant to go to the O2 on Friday to do a VR thing, but obviously the roof got ripped off in Storm Eunice.
Oh, yeah.
So, but again, I was just like, I was really excited to kind of have this kind of cinematic experience. But,
but maybe that should have been a part of it. You should have watched, you know, Alice in Wonderland or something.
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
Twister.
Yeah. That's the one, not Alice in Wonderland. Wizard of Oz. And it would be like, blimey, this is all a bit... They've gone all out for us, haven't they?
Realistic.
Yeah. You realise it's Eunice.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Ruined
my
it. Goodness.
Yeah, that's right. Indeed. Well, there we are, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed that. And we haven't slagged off films that you hold very, very dear. And if we have, then, well, you know, we obviously differ in our opinions there. But thank you for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to get in touch, we're on Twitter and Insta at AQQAPod. We'll be back next week with another podcast, of course, talking about an entirely different subject. Until then, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.